Mission 420 Boston, approach climb 18, 10,000, turn left, heading of 210.
Okay, 210 and heading up to 10,000, flex shift 420.
Boston, approach 118.25 today.
1825 up to 4.
The cockpit is not answering your phone.
We need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Another one just hit the building.
Wow.
We are remembering back 25 years ago today when the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks happened in New York City, as well as Pennsylvania and the Pentagon. And 25 years later, we are having different types of conversations for this special edition of Melissa in the Morning, honoring the victims of 9/11, remembering the incredible heroes, both still alive and fallen, and having reflections of where we were then and where we are today. Something we don't often talk about are the jobs that were directly impacted and changed forever that day on September 11th, and even now, decades later, including those who work up in the skies, our pilots and our air traffic controllers and the flight attendants, the many people who still get on airplanes today, serving hundreds, thousands, millions of people throughout the year. And I wanted to talk about that perspective that forever changed after September 11th, 2001. Joining us back on the show for this edition of Melissa in the Morning again, talking about the 9/11 anniversary, 25 years today. Retired commercial airline pilot Paul Zielinski from right here in Connecticut joins us now. Paul, you had been a commercial airline pilot for decades when 9/11 happened. You also were a pilot in the military. Take us back to where you were and your mindset during and after 9/11.
Well, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me on. On September 11th, I was at home. I wasn't working that day. I was working in the yard when my wife came back from dropping the kids off at school, and she said that an airplane had hit the World Trade Center. And I thought it was a small airplane. A couple years before, I think, a baseball player had run an airplane into an apartment building in New York City, and I figured it was just something like that. So I stopped what I was doing and went to the TV, and I saw the second airplane hit the second tower in the World Trade Center. And I was just dumbstruck like everybody else, and I called work, and I asked what was going on, and they said they had no idea. So I spent the rest of the day like everybody else, just watching TV and just praying and excuse me.
Take your time.
It's hard to talk about still, even 25 years later, but I'll get through the interview. So it was a difficult time for everybody, and we had no idea what was going on. And shutting down the airspace system for a couple days was genius. The air traffic controller in charge who said everybody land, that was the smartest thing that anyone could have done at that time. But we eventually figured it out and got back on our feet and changed how we operated. And as a result, we ended up where we are today.
Paul, you take your time, okay? You have every right to take your time and no rush. And I, again, want to sincerely thank you for talking to us always, but certainly on a day like today, because as I mentioned, I think we hit this anniversary every year, and understandably so, we think about where we were. And then a lot of times, we kind of move on with our day. And I think right. If you were not a family who was directly impacted with a loss, you were not a first responder, or you were not somebody who continued to be in an industry directly impacted by 9/11, your perspective is going to be different. And I acknowledge that, and I recognize that, and I really appreciate you talking to us, because I would imagine after 9/11, did you ever have any thoughts of changing careers, Did you feel still confident in doing the job? How did you process what happened on those four airplanes that were hijacked?
Well, I never thought about changing careers. It was something. It was my passion. It was my love. I knew that aviation would always be part of my life. So I didn't. But I was wondering how it was going to affect my life, and it affected it profoundly. You want to talk about things that happened as a result of 9/11. One of the biggest things was how we interacted as an air crew with hijackers. Before 9/11, we were always told to cooperate with hijackers. If they wanted access to the cockpit, we let them in the cockpit. Hijackers tended to do hijackings to make a political statement. And everyone thinks about the hijackers that in the 60s and 70s that would hijack airplanes and fly to Cuba as a political statement. And they would release all the passengers and everybody would go on their way after that. You know, they would make some political statement about some cause that they were supporting, and that was it. But things started getting a little bit more violent as you got into the 80s. I don't know if you remember TWA 847. It was an airplane that was being flown around the Middle East for 17 days with hijackers on board, and they wanted to have some of their cohorts released from Israeli prisons. And although a Navy diver was killed and thrown out on the tarmac from the airplane, it resolved itself by all the hijackers, all the passengers and the crew being released, and hijackers, I guess, being arrested. But they did allow the Israeli prisoners from Israel to be released. But then it started getting more and more violent. And on September 11th, if you look back, and I guess if you Monday morning quarterback it, you can see that 9/11 was going to happen sooner or later, because the hijackers were getting more and more violent and their demands. And it wasn't about meeting their demands. It was about making that political statement and making an impact.
We are marking 25 years today, the anniversary of September 11th, and how America in so many ways changed forever. Maybe you, listening at home, felt you changed forever after that day. Maybe you have people in your lives right now who were not even born, and you're having those conversations with that generation and navigating how the world is so different after that day. And it's interesting, we're talking to Paul Zielinski, who is a retired commercial airline pilot. He was also a pilot in the military, flew for decades, and remembering 9/11 and what changed. You said something interesting before, Paul. You were talking about the easy access to the cockpit prior to 9/11. And as I reflect on 9/11, it's been so different over 25 years. I was a kid when 9/11 happened. And obviously, as an adult, my perspective is very different in understanding the scope over, you know, especially 17 years of being a journalist. And I find I'm in this interesting place in my life lately where I've got someone in my life who will only know 9/11 in a history book. And it's my son, who obviously was not alive when 9/11 happened. And I recently found we were having conversations about what happened on September 11th, because maybe a couple years ago, my son asked the question, "Mom, why do we have to go through metal detectors? Why do we have to have all our bags checked when we go to the airport? Why does it feel like we're in trouble before we get on an airplane?" And I said to him, something happened to America that forever changed the way we view the airline industry, the way we get on and off of planes, the way we speak when we enter an airport. And it's fascinating to think about that, Paul. It's fascinating to think that prior to 9/11, you just got on a plane. Mm-hmm. There were no checks and balances. It was a different world before 9/11. And I'd love to hear more of your perspective on it, because sometimes it feels like it was so long ago that we forget how the world was functioning prior to 9/11.
It was almost, you know, we were kind of naive, I think, before 9/11. We didn't think that it would happen to us and didn't think that it would happen. But as a passenger, the biggest impact is TSA. They federalized the screening process. Before that, there were screenings, but it didn't seem to be as rigorous and didn't seem to be as serious as it is today. But the biggest thing about federalizing making TSA and Homeland Security is that it allowed a lot of money to be put in the system. So they developed new screening processes, detectors for bombs and materials like that, and every bag has been screened. And it leads to a lot of stress. People stress out as they approach TSA and get on an airplane because it does feel like you've done something wrong. You're being scrutinized, and your son is right. It feels like something's going on, but I haven't done anything. I'm not one of the bad guys, but you don't know who the bad guys are, so you have to screen everybody the same way.
Mm-hmm. What changes, Paul, to the cockpit security and airline procedures stood out to you after 9/11?
That's a huge one for pilots. Before 9/11, the flight attendant could knock on the door, do like a little special knock, and you would just open the door and the flight attendant would come in. And they also had keys in case they needed to get in the cockpit. They could unlock the door with a key. And you could just think about how unsecure that really could be. After 9/11, they bulletproofed the entryway into the cockpit so they couldn't shoot through the door. They also put a keypad on the door, which allowed, if the flight attendants needed to get access to the cockpit, they could. Normally they would call us, use a special word, block the door, come on in, that's secure. But if for whatever reason they couldn't get a hold of the cockpit, and maybe the pilots are incapacitated, there's a keypad. You can type in the number to get in. And the interesting thing is the door doesn't open right away. It takes 1 minute for the door to open. And while that 1 minute is elapsing, there's a chime that's going off in the cockpit. So if the cockpit crew is conscious and awake and they hear this chime go off and see that someone's trying to have access to the cockpit, they can lock the cockpit down before the door opens. And then you call back and you find out what's going on. So it was a pretty ingenious system where you can still have access to the cockpit, but the cockpit crew controls that. And heaven forbid that the crew is incapacitated, the flight attendants or someone in the back can still get into the cockpit. So it was a well-thought-out process. When there's two pilots in the cockpit and somebody needs to go back to use the bathroom, we ensure that a flight attendant comes up and replaces that pilot so that that person can be in the cockpit. There's like two people in the cockpit, and we always have to verify before we open the door. We look out the door and make sure through the peephole that everything is safe. So you need that extra flight attendant in the cockpit during that time. So we had a lot of smart people come up with a lot of solutions to those problems, and as a result, it's made it much safer.
How did the relationship between pilots and flight attendants, air traffic controllers, even security personnel change after 9/11?
I think we became closer. We became more cognizant of each other's jobs and how it relates to safety. The flight attendants are pretty much the first line of defense against anything that's going on. They receive self-defense training. They receive training on how to de-escalate situations, how to recognize when somebody is not acting properly. We, as flight crew, would always support the flight attendants. They're back there. They're on the, like I said, they're kind of right on the front line of anything that's going on. So we always listen to them and address their concerns as fast and as completely as we can.
After 25 years talking to retired commercial airline pilot Paul Zielinski, when you look back at September 11th and everything that's changed, especially in aviation afterwards, what do you think is the most important lesson we should never forget?
Well, there are bad characters out there, and they want to do harm to the United States. Just because we're the United States. They don't like our freedoms. They don't like how we treat everybody equally. They don't like the way we practice our religion, the way we practice our government. They don't like us, and they're gonna continue to try to do things to thwart our efforts to live a free life here in America. So they're going to do anything that they can. They're going to use airplanes. They're going to do what they can. And I don't want to scare people. I mean, it sounds like the sky is falling, but that's the reality of it. People just don't like America, and they're just going to continue to try to change our way of life.
Well, Paul Zielinski, I want to thank you again, retired commercial airline pilot. I know in the industry for over 30 years. And including on top of that, a pilot in the military. And I know this is, certainly a day that so many people are reflecting on. And as mentioned in the beginning, there are industries still who reflect on what happened that day like it was yesterday, because it's so top of mind. So it's things to think about when we walk into an airport or we see people in uniform, or when they're on the planes with the people working. And, when you look at today in the news and in recent years where there's unruly behavior on planes, mm-hmm. and you think to yourself, we could do better. We could do better, and just be more mindful of that as well. And so I want to thank you for talking to us, especially on the anniversary of 9/11. And thank you for what you did professionally for so many years. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
We've finished the airplane at Tango, and we're ready to certify with the FAA and do some test flying. And I wanted to invite you to take a flight with us. If you're willing and able, we'd like to bring you up. And you've been a huge supporter of Tango Flight, and it's just something that we'd like to do as a thank you if you'd like to do that.
I'd be honored, Paul. Wow. Yes, let's, yeah. Thank you so much. That's a very,
we'll make it happen.
Thank you. That's an incredible offer, and I would be honored to go up in the air with you guys. That would be incredible.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate it, and I know we'll be in touch certainly after today. Thank you so much, Paul. That's really, really kind. I appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. We are going to be right back with this special edition of Melissa in the Morning, reflecting 25 years later after the 9/11 attacks here in America.